Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
So tonight we took a break last week because I wanted to share the message with you, though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again every day of the week. But we're continuing on with Joseph, Here Comes That Dreamer tonight, and so we're going to get right into this. So we're going to do a little bit of review, and I'm going to just kind of share with you a little bit about how I study the Bible real quickly at one point. The last teaching on Joseph, we saw where Joseph interpreted the dreams of two prisoners, the chief baker and also the chief butler. You know, I was kind of laughing because we've got chief of the captain of the guards. Everybody's a chief or a captain in Egypt, it seems like. And so it was the chief baker and the chief butler. And as Joseph is a type of Christ, these two people actually represent the other two men on the cross. And one was guilty of wrong, they were both guilty of wrongdoing, actually, but one was executed and one was free and restored. And that's how it is in life. That's how it was on the cross. There's two choices. There's two different choices. Jesus is either going to be our Savior or he's going to be our judge, and we get to make that decision. We all do. And a sad part of the story was, as I told you, that Joseph told the butler after he interpreted the dream, he said, when you're restored to your position, could you remember me? Could you think of me? And could you also put in a good word for me? And we understand from the Bible that the butler actually forgot him. You know, somebody does you something so wonderful, they interpret your dreams, they're compassionate to you while you're in prison together, and then you leave the prison and you totally forget them. But not only did he forget him, he forgot him for 2 years. And this is how life can be sometimes. The people you help, the people that you encourage, when it gets your turn, they can forget you. And that's the sad reality of life. But here's the greater lesson in this. Even if someone could help you and they don't do it, if someone who should remember you doesn't remember you, doesn't choose to help you, God remembers you. He knows what kind of pit and what kind of prison that you're in, and he knows that you're faithful. He never forgets. In fact, the Bible actually says the verse, even if a mother should forget the baby at her breast, I will never forget you, my people. So God doesn't forget, even when the butler and the baker and everyone else, all of the above, forget you. So Pharaoh dreamed a dream, and suddenly the butler, all of 2 years later, remembers Joseph, and he admits that it was to his fault and his wrong. I do like that part when someone is like, this is on me. I forgot. That's found in chapter 41, verse 9. And so we see that Joseph is called to the palace. And I love that verse 14 says that Joseph shaved himself and changed his clothes before he came before Pharaoh. Now, I would ask you the question that I don't know if anyone could answer. Why do you need to know that he shaved and changed his clothes? Maybe you don't know why you need to know that. Because sometimes you read things in the Bible and they can seem so random. Like, okay. But here's what I want to tell you. This is how I study the Bible. This is one of my secrets. I look for things like this that are random, that seem like, why did it just say that? We are not told anywhere, hardly anywhere else, except Naaman dipping in the river, John baptizing people, Naaman dipping in the river, Moses being in the little basket in the river, and there's one more place I forget. Oh, and Bathsheba taking a bath. We are never told about anyone else getting a bath, getting a haircut, anything like that. You know, and they got a haircut. And it's like, and God, why is that in the Bible? Why do I need to know? I assume everyone in the land took a bath. But this is what the situation is. When I see a thing, something like that, I start doing my homework. That's at the point where I do my homework. Let me tell you why we need to know that Joseph shaved himself and changed his clothes. Because in Egypt, The only time that an Egyptian could grow his hair at all or wear a beard was if they were in mourning and could prove that someone died. Otherwise, that was not done. That was not done. That was considered immoral. That was their custom. There is nobody who would have long hair and beard. Now, here's the thing. The Hebrews were exactly the opposite. To this very day, if you see a Jewish rabbi, they will have the long beard, they will have the hair, because that's their custom. They believe that that is some strength, that there's strength in the hair. But the Egyptians were exactly the opposite. And so Joseph learned the customs of Egypt, evidently while he was in prison, and he was wise. He was a wise young man. And so he knew the ways of Egypt, and so he shaved himself completely, and he changed out of his prison clothes. I love that, too, because that's a message to us. When we go before the king, don't wear your shabby clothes. Don't look like, you know, you are in prison still, that you're still someone in bondage. It's time to stop wearing the clothes of the world, isn't it? And to start looking like a Christian should look and presenting yourself to the king, to honor the king. So there's so much there if we really start digging in the Bible, some things that we need to know. And for each of the sufferings of Joseph, I want to also bring out this point tonight, that there's an exact recompense found in the Bible. And the reason I say this is God is going to redeem your pain. God bottles your tears. He knows about your pain, but he's not just going to say, so what? You went through that. So what? You had some pain. You know, just deal with it. That's not our God. He's a redeemer, and he's going to redeem the years that the locust has eaten, so says my Bible, word of God. And he's going to redeem the days and the hours and the pain and the injustice and the suffering, vindication. He's going to give us our day. And so here's the thing. God's blessings, I'm going to say it like this. Let's start with the recompense. It was for the dreams that his brothers actually hated him, and it was by the help of dreams that he got promoted. Let's say glory to God. Thank God for those dreams. They stripped him of his many-colored, beautiful coat. They took away his coat. The Egyptians clothed him in a better garment made of byssus, which is actually a strong but fine, silky, pure garment. So you take away my coat, the one my father gave me, he will make sure I get a better coat. So if someone takes from you, you know what? Doesn't matter. Let God deal with it. Number three, they cast him in a pit, and from the pit he went to a prison, and then he went to a palace. And guess what? The brothers cast him in the pit, and it was Pharaoh. He got all the way to the palace. Number four, they sold him as a slave. Do you know the brothers? He was a slave when he was sold to the Ishmaelites. And in Egypt, he was made second in the land. No one was greater than him except for Pharaoh. He was absolutely it. So God's blessings far outweigh the wickedness that the enemy can do to you, because he is a redeemer. Whatever hurts you have, God's got some healing that's double that. You push me down, God will lift me up. You speak against me, God will speak up for me. You hate me, God loves me. You fire me, God promotes me. That's how it works in the kingdom of God when we serve the Lord God. He makes sure that that happens. You don't need to make sure. You don't need to. You know, something that I had posted today that people really commented on is you don't have to market yourself. Don't do that. Don't tell people, I can do this, I can do that, I forgot. You let God do the promoting. Don't self-promote. Don't market yourself. Don't self-promote. God knows your address. He knows how to bring, you know, I've said that, you know, about the lotto and things like that. But God does. He knows our address. He knows how to get the blessing right to your house. He knows how to bring it. And so this is God's kingdom. So just keep faithful. If you've been falsely accused, it's okay to just keep silent. It really is. You don't have to go around telling people, so-and-so said this about me, and it wasn't true, it wasn't true, it wasn't true. You know what? You let God be your defender. You don't have to hire somebody else to go, you know, defend you, because your God is going to vindicate you of all charges, all false charges. So Pharaoh has these two dreams, and one is, actually they're two dreams, they're different dreams, but they're similar, but they have one message. There's a dream, and then there's a confirmation of the dream. Like when I shared last week about the situation with Alan, I said, you know, this was to Alan. I just felt like God put him on my heart that though a man falls, and then I got this message that Alan had fallen. Some things are just a confirmation. That's what this dream was. This second dream was a confirmation, but it had one message. And the message was that there's going to be 7 years of great crops. In other words, the good times are coming first. And by the way, I think that's a time to get things right with God. Let's go ahead and repent during the good times and develop a relationship with God. Let's not wait till the years of famine to call on God and to start getting ready. And so the 7 years of great crops are going to come. And then he tells them it's a prophetic dream to Pharaoh because God had mercy on Pharaoh. He gave him a prophetic dream. And that the next years were going to be very lean years. In fact, they were going to be very desperate years. They were going to have almost no crops. And this was certainly God's mercy to give Pharaoh the dream in the first place, but it was double mercy for him to send Joseph to tell him, what good is a dream if you don't know the interpretation of the dream? If you don't know what the dream means, I could say all day, I know that's a God dream, I know there's, but I don't know what it is. You know, you need a Joseph. You need to go to Jesus and say, what does that dream mean? And I want to make a note that when Joseph told him the dream, he told Pharaoh, this is going to start happening very soon, and like right now. But here's something that I liked about Joseph. Joseph not only interpreted the dream, he also gives Pharaoh advice regarding the dream, which, by the way, he didn't have to do. You know, it's like you had one job. Interpret the dream. That's what's required of you. You deal in dreams, Joseph, and this is somebody from Egypt. You know, don't get too close to him. But because he's a type of Christ and he has a heart for people that aren't even his own people, he's in a foreign land. Do we have a heart like that for people in other lands? And so he really could have said, I just have one job, but he does go above and beyond. And I like that because that also reveals the heart of Joseph. So here's the advice. In chapter 41:33, it says, now therefore let Pharaoh, you do this Pharaoh, seek out, he's talking to Pharaoh, let Pharaoh, you, seek out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up a fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, under the supervision of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in all the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, and the land perish not, though there's famine. This is so cool. If you will do, he gives him advice of how to handle the dream. I'm not just going to interpret the dream and just leave you hanging. There's going to be good years. There's going to be bad years. Again, deal with it. You know, take it for what you want, Pharaoh. Get ready for it. You know, eat during the good years and starve during the bad years. That's not what he said. He said, I can help you with this too. And that's our God. He doesn't just reveal things to us. He's like, this is going to happen, but like in the end times, God tells us this will happen and earthquakes will happen, but I'm going to be with you. He tells us what to do and how to handle it. And so he tells him about appointing officers. So Joseph is telling Pharaoh basically that they need to prepare. You know, we also need to prepare in life too. We don't need to be unprepared at any time, spiritually, physically. We need to be prepared. We need to use wisdom. This is there. If there's going to be a famine, if there's going to be a tornado, you see this all the time in people, by the way. They will warn people. The news will say, you know, a tornado's coming. You need to leave. You guys need to get out of here. And invariably, without a doubt, you'll see people, not going to do that, not going to do that. You are unprepared. You are unprepared. And you lack wisdom. You lack wisdom. You know, you could say, well, it's God. It's just God. I'll just wait if my house blows up. Really? Really? Well, you're not me. You know, a smoke alarm is a good thing. You know, seriously. Come on now. you know, we're not to be foolish. And so they're going to prepare. So Pharaoh asked his servants, hey, guys, where can we find someone like Joseph is talking about? A man in whom the Spirit of God is. We need a man who knows God. And where is this guy? Anybody know someone like this? And I thought it was funny that it took Pharaoh a little while. He was already asking when it dawned on him. It took him a little while because he eventually answers his own question. Have you ever had something like, oh, yes, I need this and I need that. And I'm like, wait a minute. You know, I already have the answer to that. John can do the sidewalk, you know, things like that. You know, Janice can come help at the church. I call Janice. Frida can lead this thing. You know, sometimes we know, and, you know, so Pharaoh answers his own question, and he does something really cool. So he promotes Joseph over his house. He makes him the overseer. He tells him, you are now officially in charge of this entire kingdom. Only in matters regarding the throne will I be greater than you. I'm the king, but kind of in name only, you're in charge. You're going to run the whole show. I'm just the king, okay? But it gets much better. Pharaoh does something kind of amazing. Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand. He put it on Joseph's hand, and this is a big deal. This is a big deal. And he arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain on his neck. I want to tell you something cool about this. Because Joseph's just had the chains of bondage in the prison taken off of him, and now he receives a gold chain from the king and new garments. I will give you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The prison clothes are gone. The chains of bondage are gone. We have gold chains. We have fine linen. We have a new position. We are no longer just over the prison. We are now overseer of all the people. You know, it's so interesting. And I love that, you know, when I told you the story of the red dress that God asked me to burn, the red dress that I had purchased and worn to a party that I shouldn't have been at. And I never knew why that was so significant to me until I read in the book of Jude that says we are to hate even the garment spotted with sin. When it's not good enough to say, I love Jesus, if we don't hate sin. Even the garment, even the old clothes that I used to wear to the parties, they have to be gone. You don't want any association with your past. You want to be free. All things are made new when you come to Christ. And so here's another cool thing. And he made him to ride in the second chariot, which he had. And they cried out before him. That is just, they just shouted like you would a queen or king. Bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Did you get that? He gets the gold chain. He gets the new clothing, new wardrobe. And now he gets the limousine. He gets to ride through the city where everyone can see it. He's got a driver and everything. He's like a cool celebrity now. And he's probably thinking, a couple days ago, I was in the prison. I had chains on me, and I didn't really have any idea that I would be getting out anytime soon, if ever. And here I am. Can you imagine? Do you know that's how suddenly God can promote you? That's how suddenly God can flip the switch and change things in your life. Maybe you never think you'll get out of this dark season or this dark place or this hard season, but if you keep serving God and if you keep ministering and helping the other prisoners and you're willing to speak the truth to the butler and to the baker, even when it's inconvenient and uncomfortable, God will literally promote you, and he can do it often very quickly. And I think about Potiphar, the captain of the guard, how Joseph once worked in his house. He was the captain of the guard, and Joseph got in trouble because of Mrs. Potiphar, and Potiphar had him, you know, they threw him in the prison. And now he has to watch because he also was captain of the guard in the prison. So here's Potiphar. Two times you work for Potiphar. But guess what? Potiphar wasn't a good master, was he? He wasn't a good master. But Pharaoh, he don't work for Potiphar anymore. And guess what? He got promoted above Potiphar. You know what? Potiphar works for him now. You know what? I love that because he's second in place. The guy that you that was falsely accused by your wife that you didn't stand up for, him, he got promoted. He works for Pharaoh now, not you. And so, Joe, you're still working at the prison, by the way. So Joseph begins to gather up all the food in the 7 years of plenty. He puts it in the cities, and he gathered so much that they had to stop counting it. They started taking inventory because, again, when you study the Bible, you have to look at it. It says they had to stop counting it. That means they had started and begun a counting system. They were taking inventory, like at a store, and all of a sudden they're like, we've got so much. Send the inventory people home. This is not working. We've got that much stuff. That's the blessing of the Lord. Do you know that represents the blessing of the Lord? That the blessings of the Lord are abundance. I have not seen, ear hath heard. There's so much blessing in serving the Lord. And so he gathers up all the food that they had to stop counting it. And during this season of his life, God also blessed him with two sons. The sons were Manasseh. And I love this because the name Manasseh means God has caused me to forget all of the sorrow of my father's house. God has caused me to forget all of that sorrow in my past. I love that. There's also a translation that says that God has taken away the homesickness and the longing and the sorrows of my father's house. I love that, that name Manasseh. So every time he called his son, he would bring to remembrance, I don't have that kind of pain I used to have. I don't have that unforgiveness. I don't have nothing associated with that makes me long for my past. You know, there are times when, even if our past wasn't pleasant, that we long to go to our past, and we really shouldn't do that. It keeps us from living today and experiencing tomorrow. So what happened in your past is in your past, but I want to tell you that even the bad things that happen, God won't change that, but he can heal it. He won't change your memories. He can't alter that. He's not, you know, I remember telling you at one point that I asked God to help me forget some of the terrible things that had happened to me in my past. And God said, I can't, because that's part of who you are. And that's why you're who you are today. But what I can do for you is heal that past. And then when you remember it, you will not have the same pain that you once had every time you thought of the past that is associated with that. Now you will be able to say, that happened to me, and look at me, I am healed now. And I do not hurt anymore. And that's the way Jesus is a redeemer and a healer. He's taken away that, and you don't have to even think about that anymore. The name of Joseph's second son was Ephraim, which means God has caused me to be fruitful and blessed. I don't worry about the past anymore. I don't long for the past. I don't want to go back there. I'm not hurt by the past. I am now blessed, blessed, blessed. I am fruitful. You know, and a dream doesn't mean much unless the dream comes to pass. So here's Pharaoh's dream in chapter 41, and the 7 years of famine, they began to come now, just as Joseph had said, and the famine was in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. Thank you, Joseph. Do you know that in a time of famine, remember Jesus, Joseph is a type of Jesus. In a time of famine, should our land go through a crisis of food, in a time of famine, we will have bread. That is God. That is how God works. He feeds the sparrows. He certainly feeds his people. There is bread. In fact, he's called the bread of life, the living bread. And so I love this. It tells us that in the surrounding lands and nations, they were also suffering famine, but Egypt had bread. God's going to feed me. I don't have to worry. He's my provider. And the reason he's my provider is Joseph, Jesus. Jesus, my Joseph, Yeshua. And we will never have lack as long as we have Jesus. And it was David who said, I am young. I was young, and now I am old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken, abandoned, or his seed begging bread. We're not going to be in a soup line, a bread line, begging. He's going to feed us. So Joseph was the interpreter of the dream of Pharaoh. He was now the overseer of the land of Egypt. And the, verse 55 says, when all the land of Egypt was famished, was hungry and starving and desperate, the people cried unto Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said to the people of Egypt, go to Joseph and do what he says. Wow! This is so powerful. They come to Pharaoh. You can go to the government if you want to. And you can say, help me, I need bread. And here's what Pharaoh said. Go to Joseph. We got to go to Jesus. And we got to do what Jesus says. You know, there's people that don't like to even hear that because that requires coming to church. That requires tithing. That requires loving your neighbor as yourself. They cried to Pharaoh, but Pharaoh doesn't really have anything except through Jesus too. He's going to be fed by the same food program that Joseph feeds everybody else. You know, sometimes we don't think of those things. Pharaoh needed the same bread that Joseph stored up, because don't we all need Jesus? And so did all the other. I think something's interesting in here. If we really, you got to wrap your head around this. Not only was there famine in Egypt, there was famine, the Bible says, in all of the lands, in all of the world. There was famine at that time. Everybody had a famine. There was a famine on the earth. So that means everybody needed to go to Joseph. Everybody needs to go to Jesus and do what Jesus says to do. Obedience is what unlocks the blessings, the abundant blessing of the Lord. So let me read you 56, just so I can say I read it to you. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. Did you read that? All the face of the earth. I think I get that. And Joseph opened up the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. What does it mean, the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt? The famine got worse. You've got a famine, and it gets worse. We don't have food, and now we don't have food. We really don't have any food. But Joseph opens up the storehouses. Do you know that? Let me share a verse with you. Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. You can test God? Yes, you can. He said, go ahead, test me. Test me, do it and see. Says the Lord God Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. If you want so much blessing that you won't be able to hardly use it all, then this is what to do. Malachi 10. You want a formula? This is it. You can test God in this. I'm going to ask you a question. Will he pass the test? What kind of grade do you think God will get on the test if I really bring the whole tithe, not part of the tithe, not what I want, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house? Test me. He's going to open the store. Did it say here that Joseph opened the storehouses to all the Egyptians and the famine waxed sore? But he even did something. And all the countries, verse 57 says, all the countries came to Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because the famine was so desperate in all the lands. Everyone needed to come. And I love this, because Joseph was ready to receive them and he had enough for everybody. And it's about to get good. The drama is going to continue. So when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, why are you just looking at each other, standing around looking at each other? Look, I have heard that there's corn in Egypt. Get down there and buy some for us so that we can live and we won't die. And Joseph's 10 brothers, not 11 because Benjamin's staying home, Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy corn in Egypt. Eventually he comes. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob, did not send with his brothers, because he said, unless peradventure mischief will befall him. Jacob is concerned, with good reason. With good reason. These are the same brothers that left with his other son and did not return with his other son. The babysitters, all of them were terrible. And they did not bring the child home again. So why would this father be concerned? He had every reason. He's still not over the pain. God has not healed his soul yet over the pain of losing his son Joseph. Only Jesus can heal that kind of pain. And deep down, I feel like this is me. This is my feeling. I feel like deep down he always knew that there was more to this story than he was being told. Have you ever been lied to by a whole bunch of people and you just knew there's more to it than that? You just knew this just doesn't sound right. This just doesn't even sound possible. My son got devoured by a beast. I would have been like, and where were you? Where were all of you? Who tried to get the beast off of him? Who tried to help him? Did you see it? Did you save him? What kind of beast was it? Was anybody else there? I would have some questions to ask. I think the father may have in his gut thought, this isn't right. This isn't right. There's more to this story. I just pretty much know that's how I would be. There's no other mention of it. So he still says something could happen to this other child too. Probably like the wild beast thing. And Joseph, an unexpected twist in the story. So all the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came for the famine that was in the land. And there's an unexpected twist because verse 6 says, and Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold all to the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed themselves down before him with their faces to the ground. Let's go back to the dream. Who was bowing? Here they're bowing. If God gives you a dream, you may not think, okay, well, I had that dream 15 years ago. That's never happened. Wait it out. Wait it out, because if it's God, it is absolutely going to come to pass. God doesn't make any mistakes. He doesn't give any false dreams or false words. But I think this is so cool that they're now in the land and they're now bowing. And verse 7 says, and Joseph saw his brothers and he knew them. He knew them. I think that's so cool. But he made himself strange to them and he spoke roughly to them and asked, where do you come from? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. Well, so far so good. They're honest and he knows them. Joseph recognizes them and he's going to test them. Because verse 8 says, and Joseph, it repeats it, and Joseph knew his brothers. So when something's said twice, we need to take it to heart. So God really wants us to know it. He absolutely knew who they were. Because I think God told us that twice because Joseph's going to mess with them. He is. And they had it coming. I'll just be honest. We're only human. And the Bible, some things are, like I said, some things are for revelation and some things are just for information. Just so you know, it's not that God condoned Joseph necessarily, but you know what? Sometimes he allows those things to happen. You know, we reap what we sow, right? And Joseph knew his brothers, but they knew him not. I'm pretty sure it's because Joseph was a child. He was very young at the time they sold him, and he's now a grown man. He looks like a grown man, and he also looks like something else. He looks like an Egyptian. Remember, these brothers probably showed up with their long beards and their hair and all, and he's shaved himself, and he's adorned with all these fine garments and linens, and he's probably taken up the dialect of the land, and, you know, he's talking rather roughly to them. He's got his grown-up male voice now, and so they don't recognize him, and I think that's kind of cool. Sometimes you can be standing before your Joseph, your Jesus, and you don't recognize him. Sometimes we can. Sometimes that's how it is. And I want to say he is going to test him, and so I'm just giving you the heads up on that. And Joseph, also verse 9 says, right after it says Joseph knew his brothers and they knew him not, verse 9 says, and Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed about them and said to them, you are spies to see the nakedness of the land is why you have come. He decides, I'm going to give them a run for their money. Does Joseph know they're not spies? Yes, he knows they're not spies. They're his brothers. So I'm going to give you three, real quickly, I want to go through three powerful life lessons we learn. Number one, God will lift you up right in front of the people who pushed you down. He will lift you up in front of those brothers who pushed you down and put you in the pit. Number two, God will so change you, transform you and bless you that the people who hated you in your past won't even recognize who you are anymore. You have been so changed and so blessed by God that they won't even recognize you. And number three, God will so bless you that the people who you needed that were not there for you and came out against you now find themselves needing you and what you have to offer. That is going to happen. That always happens. The person that, think about it. I mean, somebody in your family could come out against you, one of the brothers or something, and just do you great, great damage and just, you know, curse you. I don't want no part of your God. I don't want nothing from you. But because you're living for God. And then one day they get a call that they need a liver or something. And guess who will step up and do something? God has a way, because he requires of us to love our enemies, right, as our praise team comes to bless us again. When you're going through pain and you've been betrayed, you've been wounded, you've been rejected, and you've been falsely accused, sometimes you can't see through the tears. And when you're in the pit, it's dark in the pit, isn't it? And you can't see the light, but I want to say something about that. You can't see the light, but that doesn't mean there is no light. Do you get that for just a minute? If I'm in the pit, if I'm in a dark place in my life, and it doesn't seem like I can see the light of day, and I'm blinded by my tears, I want to tell you something. That doesn't mean there is no light. When God said, "Let there be light," and he flipped on light, it's here to stay. And God's never going, they're never going to go out unless God says, "Lights out," and that's not going to happen. And that's not going to happen because Jesus is the light. So what I want to say to you tonight is whatever's happened in your life, God is going to vindicate wrongs committed against you. Now, I don't know if this applies to you, but some of you have had people in your life that have come against you. Maybe it's because you're a Christian. You've had false accusation come against you, opposition committed against you. The brothers will stand before you one day. The night will be turned to day. Every day the sun rises in the morning. And you will rise too. Do you know why? Because the sun has risen. Not the sunshine, the sun. The sunshine rising in the morning is a sign that the sun has risen because he is the reason. And when that day comes, you're not to gloat over your enemy. Joseph did not do that. You're not to require vengeance or punishment, but to bless those who curse you, to pray for those who despitefully use you, in Luke 6, and to do good to those who hate you. Why pray for your enemies? I have a reason, number one, because they need it. Because they're going to need it. If they oppose you as a child of God, they need you to pray for them. Do you remember the instance in the Bible with Miriam, with the leprosy, Miriam and Aaron? You know, because they spoke out against the man of God, Moses. They spoke against the brother, against Moses. And they were afflicted with leprosy. And it meant that Moses had an opportunity here to pray for Miriam and Aaron. He considered them the brother and the sister, and he did. We're not to gloat over people, because that's not the way of God. These brothers of Joseph were without food. They were in a desperate place. They would have starved without Joseph. And he could have turned them down or even worse. Remember, he knew them, but they didn't know him. He was in the driver's seat. He could have done anything. Take their heads off. Do whatever. He could have had them put in the pit. He could have had them put in the prison. How many of us would have done that? Said, "Let's let them spend some time in the prison. Come on, Potiphar. Come on down. Let's lock them up for a while. Just for fun." That's not what to do. That's not what to do. We're to forgive. And they could have been harmed. But here they are. And by the way, we're going to close with this. There were 10 of them standing before Joseph. I want to say something about that as we close. 10 represents the law. 10, you know, anything could have happened to them, the 10 of them. But because of Jesus, there's a new law of mercy and grace and love. And so Joseph didn't do that. It's because of Jesus that we are not punished.
thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.